Welcome to Color Story, the podcast that explores the transformative and magical power of color in people's lives. I'm your host, Claire Lacey. In this episode, we chat with art educator and studio artist, Abby Laux, about her connection to color, travel inspirations, teaching methods, and favorite color combinations. I'm excited to have you here. And one thing that really drew me to speaking with you is we have some friends in common or some relatives of yours, and I've seen your work for years, but I've never met you. So it's fun to put a face and a personality to your artwork. And because of that, I'm interested to know more about your relationship with color and how it's influenced your work.
So I'm a landscape painter, as well as a teacher. And so I think, since really focusing on landscape painting, which I started about 10 or 12 years ago, I think I just noticed color so much better. I think I'm just more aware of the natural landscape, because that's what I'm drawn to. And so like I find myself driving down the road and I'm just looking around me and I'm looking at the colors and I'm looking, you know, I'm kind of thinking in my head, how would I mix those colors in paint, or what would a painting of that scene look like? And I think, you know, before, you know, wintertime in Indiana, it's, you know, grays and browns, but now I see, you know, all this color in those muted tones. You know, I see the pinks and the oranges and the purples and everything a lot more. So I think that, like, that painting has done that for me. It helps me like appreciate that color that I'm observing.
Well, and it's interesting when you say winter, because now I see different colors in the shadows of the white snow. And I'm guessing now you're seeing that, and that's what you're picking up when you get home with your painting tools and brushes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think, yeah, just being able to see the color in the shadows, or yeah, see I think I'm more drawn to the muted colors. I know you like, I think, bright colors and everything, but you know, I'm starting to really appreciate those more kind of grayer colors out there. And that's, I think, a lot of times too, when I do pick what I'm going to paint for a painting, I'm drawn to the colors in it. You know, I think that's a big part of some of those decisions. It might be like the color relationships in that scene, like maybe all the colors are really closely related to each other, or maybe, you know, there's the colors contrast or something, or just kind of the play of the colors in the light versus like the colors in the shadows, like you were talking about.
Mm-hmm. Well, now that you say that, do you tend to be drawn to, I guess, where do you start first? You see the color as inspiration, you know, when you're driving, and then also the composition secondary, maybe, or sort of simultaneously?
Well, so actually a lot of the landscapes I paint are from national parks or like kind of places like that. My husband and I do a lot of hiking, and so that's where I get most of my inspiration, is just kind of being out, you know, in nature and everything. And I think it is color, because I think a lot of artists, they're looking for like a really interesting, maybe light situation. But I find that a lot of the paintings I do are kind of dark or in the woods or overcast or something. And so I think that's where more the color comes into play, you know, because you don't have those strong lights and shadows necessarily always. Yeah, I think it's the color a lot of times. But yeah, I mean, painting's a lot. So it's everything. It's color's part of it, but yeah, composition and other things are all play into that too. Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of travel and going to national parks, is there anywhere specifically that you really want to return because of the colors you've experienced there, or colors you'd never experienced before until then?
Yeah, definitely like Utah, like Southern Utah, Zion, Bryce Canyon. That kind of blew me away, because we love the mountains and the woods, you know, and we're from Southern Indiana, so everything around us is green, and, you know, and that's, you know, kind of feels like my space. And I didn't know how I would like Utah. You know, I thought, well, it's going to just be all rock and no greenery or anything. And then we get there and the color just blew me away. Because there's a lot more greenery than I expected. So you've got red rocks and then you still got the green foliage and plants and everything. And I think what really struck me is when we first took the train out to, I think Arizona, yeah, Flagstaff, Arizona. And then we're driving up to Zion and I'm looking at the colors in the clouds and the clouds are reflecting the orange landscape. And so you're seeing some like orange in the bottom of the clouds, which I thought was amazing.
Wow, I never really noticed that. I've been to the Southwest quite a bit as well, and including Utah and Arizona, and I never really thought about the reflection from the you know, earth surface.
Yeah, I never did a painting of it, but it just, yeah, it sticks in my mind.
I think one of the first times I was in Utah, I also noticed like rocky areas that had like strides of like turquoise and sort of like an ochre yellow together. And so I'm fascinated also like just the geology of it all and what exists in different regions of the US that, you know, I'm from Indiana as well, that doesn't exist here.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's really wild the color combinations you see in nature. Like just, yeah.
And I wonder if, I know you teach as well, and if you're able to influence your students to see color in that way and see color in the unexpected ways that they normally wouldn't view the world.
I think I do have that approach of just trying to be observant. I mean, because I think that's my philosophy too. It's just, that's what I'm drawn to in an art is when the artist is just really observant about life and shows you something that you might not have noticed before. So I think I probably emphasize that some too in teaching. And I use a limited color palette myself. So I don't use a lot of tubes of paint. I use a warm and a cool of each of the primary colors, you know, so, like, for example, I have two blues. So one blue is more like a greenish blue or leans towards that side. And the other blue is more like a purplish or reddish blue. And it leans towards that side. So I have two of each of the primaries and then like a white, a black. Well, I use a little bit of black, yellow ochre, kind of like an earth red. And then from those, you know, maybe 10 colors, I mix all the other colors of paint. And then that helps create some unity within the painting because all the colors are related to each other. And they all have, you know, they all come from those same parent colors. And then at school, I make my students mix everything. So they get the three primary colors and that's it. So they get really good at mixing colors because they have to know, you know, they have to know everything, how to get all the colors they want. So I think that helps quite a bit.
Yeah, definitely. You know where it came from and like how it derived and all the properties about it.
Yeah, you can. And it makes it easier to remix another color too, because you know which red or which blue you used and everything. So I think that makes it easier. And then you know, since you only have a few colors, you get to know those really well. And then, you know, I can only switch out a color expand or something, but that kind of helps as a learning starting point.
Mm-hmm. I think there's some tube of paint, I don't know if it's for children, that I think it's like a white tube with like a color dot on it. And then I think it's like a two other color dots to show, like, so for example, it's like red and blue, two dots. So it doesn't show that it's purple. But it's a way for people to understand where it's coming from. I don't know what the brand is, but I just saw that. I thought that was kind of neat as a learning experience in that way.
Yeah, it was funny because this last week of school here, I was kind of slowly cleaning up my classroom and I took down the big color wheel chart in my room. And all of a sudden I see a student glance up at the wall and she like noticed it was missing because she was going to look for I think she was wanting to like mute a color, like kind of gray it out. So she was looking for the color opposite. She looked up at the color wheel. She definitely noticed that I had taken it down already.
Well, and we definitely get used to referencing it So it's good that she's learned from it and obviously wants to keep it around.
Yeah.
Well, I know you also did some traveling in Europe and, you know, took home influences for painting. And I'm wondering, did you see color in a different way in a different environment that was so different than the US?
So I did take a sketchbook and some watercolors because those are easy to travel with. And I did do some sketches. And then I took a lot of photographs. And then what's interesting is just to kind of document my travels. I did, you know, kind of put together like a photo book. And I noticed for the different countries, certain colors would stand out. And it was almost like I picked a color scheme for that, like that country, you know, like reds in London, you know, lots of reds, and then like greens in Ireland type thing. So it did feel like, yeah, I was remembering countries and associating certain colors with them. But another part of that trip too is we went to a lot of the big museums in London and then in Paris. And we just lucked upon a Van Gogh exhibit. And no matter how many artists I see, I still keep coming back to Van Gogh. And when I see one of his paintings in a museum, it just stands out for me. Like his use of color and like the greens and the skies, it just strikes a chord. So I think that was a big influence too from that trip to see so many of those paintings.
And to be able to get up close. And I know with your work, you're also concerned with like the texture of the painting, like the literal, you know, how does it, you probably don't want people to touch it, but, you know, giving it that sort of depth and seeing what he does. From what I remember seeing in person in different museums, it's like much thicker of a texture.
Yeah, it is wild to see. Like he has such a thick impasto. I don't paint that thick. I think I'm a little too cheap with my paints to be able to put the paint on that thick. But I do. Yeah, I like putting some of the paint on with like painting knives and different things, or like paint rollers or different things to get like some different textures. But yeah, there's definitely, when Van Gogh has that thick paint, you just get, there's a richness there.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think if you didn't have to worry about, I guess, the cost of the paint, I guess, how crazy would you go with, you know, is there a certain color that costs more and how thick would you make it?
It is interesting. There's tubes of paint. I don't know if you're very familiar with paint, but they're rated based off series. And so it depends on the pigment that's used to mix it. So like, yeah, like a cobalt blue is very expensive. You know, so I've got a small tube of that, whereas, you know, some of your other pigments less expensive. So yeah, I don't go crazy because I don't want to be, I don't tend to buy those more expensive paints because I don't want to feel like held back or anything with paint I use. But then other things come to play too, because my paintings tend to be painted over a long time. So there's many layers. And if I paint one layer too thick, it's never going to dry. Like, you know, Van Gogh painted kind of the painting all in one day, you know, in one go a la prima. So, and I don't do that. So it can't use too thick of paint layers.
That's interesting you say that. I did take an oil painting class a long time ago. And my understanding is oil paint doesn't really dry even over 50 years. It was sort of a joke that's like, even if you were to take a layer off, you know, 50 years later, there'd be something wet under there. I think it was really just to get us to not put such thick paint down.
Yeah, that can be, that was so frustrating when I was first working in oils, but it just never dried. And it just, to me, it just became this soupy mess of mud color then, because all the colors are mixing together. And then eventually I learned you can add in mediums to speed up that drying time, or yeah, paint thinner layers. But yeah, definitely that plays into like how you can put down color.
I think, is there anything else in your, I guess, even personal life that has been integrated into your work? I know you do a lot of landscapes. And is there anything like, do you see yourself in them?
In the landscapes? So the landscapes are all, like I said, places that my husband and I hike to. So they're all, like my paintings are almost postcards of our experiences, you know, like, you know, places we've spent time in. A lot of them, so I generally work from photographs because my paintings are large and I tend to work in a studio. But a lot of times when we're out hiking, you know, we'll sit down and I'll do some sketching with watercolor or gouache or something. And a lot of those turn into the big paintings. And so, yeah, the paintings are kind of memories of those places that we've spent time in. But then also a huge influence in my life is my father was an artist. And so I grew up from a very young age going to museums and looking at art books. So I've always been exposed to that art. And, you know, Dad was very sensitive to nature and just noticing things, you know, so he probably would be pointing out colors, you know, around us in the world. And so I think, yeah, I think that was just a huge influence on, you know, my life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. I think a lot of people don't have that, I don't know, luxury of having a parent who can teach them how to see in that way.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely very grateful.
And I know my parents were artists as well. And so that was definitely an influence for me. And so to see somebody else have that experience is mind-blowing.
Well, but I think, I guess growing up, it was natural, right? Like it was just, that was life. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember, yeah, being 5 years old, walking through museums. And I guess most people don't have that. They don't get that.
Well, from the museums that you visited recently, I know you said one that stood out was, you know, seeing a Van Gogh exhibit, how recent or not. Is there anything that you wish you could see in a museum that is more, you know, like color bent or color focused in addition to Van Gogh?
I mean, I really do love color. I love when artists use it more realistically, like they're observing something from nature and then, or something from life, and then they are using that color, manipulating it in their painting, and just the way they compose that painting, they make us notice that color then. Like they help us see that beauty or notice that thing. You know, I think I've seen paintings of very mundane subject matter. You know, it might be like a trash can in an alley or something, but it's just a beautiful painting because the artist has just noticed, you know, those colors, those shadows, that light. You know, so I think that's, you know, always a joy to see. But then I love too, I mean, even though I don't paint as expressively, I love seeing, you know, when art color is used expressively by an artist, you know, I love contemporary work. I love, you know, lots of big pops of color. It's just definitely worth, I think, because an artist uses color as a tool, I think it's worth like seeking that out to just be able to experience that.
Mm-hmm. And I think what you mentioned earlier about, you didn't use the word paralyzed, but that's what I'm translating it into, because you said like, oh, I don't want to be worried about, you know, how much it costs, so I can just paint how I want. You said something like that.
Yeah.
And I wonder how much that influences other people, you know, and how we do our work. And are we the only ones that feel like this? You know, it's like color and like landscape and, you know, whether it's representational or non-representational or abstract, and how we express. It's like, are we holding ourselves back by it? You know, it's like, oh, it's like, it's just an extra dollar, you know? It's like, would that have been, you know, more influential or less influential and so forth? Just thinking about color from that perspective.
Well, it's interesting to start like researching some of that, because there's definitely some colors that would have only been reserved for like, you know, kings or something. Like their clothing would have only been dyed certain colors because that was the most expensive color type thing. So yeah, it is interesting that there is sort of a value associated with pigments throughout history.
Yeah. And I remember hearing, I want to say in the Renaissance, the color blue patrons would be given a contract and say, like, I'm buying this amount of blue for you, so you have to use this amount in the painting because it was so expensive.
I wonder, I think lapis lazuli was a very expensive blue. I don't know if it's that same one during the Renaissance, but
Right. Yeah.
There's some interesting YouTube videos of artists that like discuss color. Like I just saw one that an artist bought a tube of, I think, lapis lazuli and was using it. And I think his conclusion was, yeah, it's a blue.
Like it's a luxury I don't need, maybe, or a synthetic version will work.
Yeah.
Has your sense of like a favorite color combination evolved over time? Do you find yourself using, you know, let's say purple and yellow versus green and red more often, either in your work or in your daily life?
Yeah, you would think it would be green and red since I'm a landscape painter. But yeah, I think it is more yellow and purple. I love purple in the shadows. And then, of course, you know, more yellow in the light areas. So yeah, I think it's interesting because color is so relative, you know, so I'll mix a color on my palette. And then when you put it on the painting next to the other colors, it just completely changes the way you view it or the, you know, how it's observed, you know, so I'll be mixing a color and I swear it's orange on my palette or it looks orange. And I mean for it to be a green, you know, I'm going to use it in a green area. And sure enough, when I put that sort of orangey looking color on the painting, it comes across as a green. So it's very interesting, like color relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the color interaction. And I think a lot of people who aren't familiar with, you know, your process or just color in general and shadows wouldn't have any clue that purple was what it was made of. Or, you know, at first glance, maybe it's like, oh, that looks like a black. When really it's so much has so much more depth than that.
Yeah. But yeah, you were talking about color influences. I remember being in undergrad and I would just go to the library and I get books and books of like impressionist painters and pre-Raphaelites. And I was doing it to like copy their color. Like where, you know, where do I, or how do I use color? You know, what color are the shadows or what colors do I use in the skin tones type thing?
Beautiful. Yeah. I think those are definitely, I would say, places we don't spend enough time in, and I think such great resources for color. And to wrap things up, I want to ask you one more thing. How would you suggest people embrace color in their lives so they're not afraid of it?
Well, you say that, and I listen to the podcast with your father, and he wears bright colors like clothing, and I wear all neutral colors. Like I'm a very like, you know, greens and blacks and everything. I think maybe it's just more my personality. I'm very quiet and very introverted, so I don't like to stand out. But I love color. I appreciate color. I think it goes back to, again, I would go to museums and galleries because, you know, that there's a lot of artists that can just help us really appreciate those. And then, like I said, you know, as I'm driving down the road, I'm just looking at the colors.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for joining me on Color Story today. And I look forward to seeing where your color and your work goes.
Yeah, thank you so much. And you are now on my podcast library. So I listen to podcasts when I paint. So now I will be listening to yours constantly.
Okay, great. Well, I hope I can keep up your hopes.
Good luck. It's a huge enterprise.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on Color Story today. Remember to take a look at those shadows. You never know what colorful information is waiting to be discovered. Your support and engagement mean a lot, and I'm grateful for your listening ears. I love sharing stories about color and because of color, and I aim to awaken your love of color. Please take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review Color Story on your favorite platform. And if you know someone who loves exploring the spectrum of colors, don't forget to share this with them too. I'm always eager to hear your thoughts and ideas on what to discuss next. let's keep the conversation going over on Instagram at Classic Claire Colors and Twitter at ClaireNFT. And one more thing. The Color Story podcast and content posted by Claire Lacey is presented solely for general information, educational, and entertainment purposes. The use of information on this podcast or materials linked from this podcast or website is at the user's own risk. It is not intended as a substitute for the advice of a physician, professional coach, psychotherapist, or other qualified professional, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice for any medical or mental health condition they may have and should seek the assistance of their healthcare professionals for any such conditions.